It's not the middle of the night. It's like we'll be able to watch the whole game.
It's on Christmas Day?
Yeah. Monday night.
Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Hey, let's go!
Bricks in the end zone.
Come on, let's go!
Alrighty, hello and welcome to the Brits in the End Zone Christmas Party. Woo-hoo. I am joined today by the ever-present Daniel Green.
The future champion.
And alongside him is Charles.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
We're all good. We're all good.
Not and as an exciting intro for you there, Charles.
Yeah.
Is that a...
I mean, only one of the two of you made it to the NFL playoff
final. Well, one of the three of us.
we'll get into that later. But just before we do, I must also introduce the man behind the glass. So, Charlesy, I've forgotten how to pronounce...
Jonathan DiMichele.
That is the one.
That is correct.
Correct pronunciation. So let's kick this this podcast off in the spirit of Christmas. I'm going to ask Charlesy and Greeny for their Pro Bowl Christmas themed NFL team. Now I'm going to make a ruling on these very punny names. So give me your best, Charlesy. Kick us off.
I'm saving my best till last. It's the best way to do it. But I'm going to start off with a guy who I should have played in my fantasy playoff this week. St. Nick Foles. That's all right. No? St. Nick.
The silence speaks.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
This is a bit like Will Ferrell and...
when they do...
They've got like a kind of dad joke off.
All right. Well, NFL players did that.
Oh, did they? Well, probably not as funny as us. Okay, I'm going to go into it, warm into it. Ho, 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 Clinton Dix.
Oh, that's annoying because I've got him in another way. I had ha, ha, Clinton Vixen, which is another...
That's so bad.
This has started off atrociously. Yeah. Someone please pick it up.
I mean, you've got to have Levy on Jingle Bells. I mean, Joy can Levy.
Unfortunately, that's the best one so far.
Well, I've got a similar one, which is Darius Slaybells.
Yeah, I've got number two on my list was Darius Slaybells. I mean, Rudolph the Red Zone Reindeer. He's been that all year.
What did Greeny call him earlier?
Rudolph the Red Zone Monster, which is... great.
Outside of the seasonal festivities, he's the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Monster.
True.
Now he now becomes
the reindeer.
Okay, so this is probably my best one. Michael Human and Chimney. Human and Chimney.
Yeah.
It's
a well take to try and get Chimney in. But
I don't get it. Can you explain it?
His name is Michael Humanuwanu. Okay. And the joke
you can't tell
is
that sounds like chimney.
Michael Human in Chimney,
which is what Santa does.
Human in Chimney.
Come on,
that's your best one.
Okay, okay. I've got a player we met at the NFL fan forum when we went to the UK. You actually asked him a question. You probably don't remember his name, JP. Lineman.
I was going to say he was a Browns offensive lineman. Joe.
No,
Joe or Joel. I
Noel
get it right.
Bitonio.
I remember on the night I couldn't get it. I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah, his name is Noel Bitonio. Oh,
yes. How about Jacoby Bristletoe?
Oh, wow.
Right.
You've got
two each left, and then
This one's from Jade. Snowflake Bortles. That's not bad.
That's probably better than any of the ones you've done. So.
From Jade, that's not bad. Okay. Ben Reithlisberger.
Yeah, I had Reith Miller, so he passed to him. So there we go. And my best one, slash by far the worst one, it's not actually an NFL player, but the NFL, there was a film, you know, we'll remember Jerry Maguire, where he plays NFL football agent, starring Tom Cruise, and obviously the guy who played the NFL footballer, Christmas Pudding Jr.
I don't know how to respond to that. I really don't.
Should we just leave? Should we just turn it off, end it right here?
When can you reschedule?
That's unbelievable.
And my last one is the Cardinals defensive end, I believe. Antoine Bethlehem. Bethlehem.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. That's good.
Stop it, guys. We're moving on.
Oh, and 16's coming to Browns. I might just go home.
If anyone's still listening, I will genuinely be shocked.
Yeah.
Genuinely shocked. So, week 15...
Tweet us your puns.
Week 15 of the NFL. Let's let's start off with that crazy, crazy finish to the Steelers-Patriots game. Have you guys seen anything like it?
I mean, it was ludicrous. And this is coming from someone who actually wanted... It was really rooting for one of the teams to win. As a Jags fan, we really wanted the...
We've already got the Jags. We're talking about the Steelers-Patriots, Charles.
No, but like, I normally...
Talk to me about the end of that game.
No, it was amazing. But it's amazing.
Can you explain what happened rather than your Jaguars take on it?
Well, what happened is that the Patriots... the Steelers were ahead all game. The Patriots formed an unbelievable drive with 2 minutes to go and Gronk got all
just
the
caught
yards.
Everything.
They then got a lead with 30 seconds to go and four, meaning that the Steelers needed a field goal to take it into overtime, and they threw a 70-yard pass to Smith-Schuster on the first play, meaning they're in great field position.
Have you just skipped out the mental catch that wasn't?
No.
Oh,
okay. So Juju has just got the ball, ran 70 yards. They're on the 10-yard line. Yeah. They could easily take a field goal.
But they're about to win. They were on the first. Yeah, they're about to win first and goal, and they throw a touchdown. Scenes everywhere. They're loving it. What a get onto the game, and then they're reviewing the catch, and no one seems to know why, including Tony Romo, and then they suddenly realise that as he's caught the ball and then gone into the end zone, he slightly put the ball touched the floor a bit. And apparently that means he didn't catch it, which he did.
It's just a bit of a ludicrous rule that no one... I've heard everyone say that to the letter of the law, it was the correct decision. But that the law is ridiculous and should be changed.
Yeah, so I've read quite a bit about it. Okay, so when you're thinking about for a runner, they can just do a dump off and the runner can carry the ball. And the minute he gets past the end zone, it's classified as a touchdown. We've all got that. We all understand that. However, for a wide receiver, there's an added layer of complexity that if you catch the ball and go into the end zone, then in order to become a runner and to be in the end zone and get the touchdown, you have to survive the ground. So they're actually... what that means?
I know that is the expression that makes me laugh every time.
So, makes you last.
Makes me laugh every time.
So what we're saying with Jesse James, he's got the ball, he's caught the ball, and they're saying, cool, he caught the ball, he's then gone into the end zone, his legs are down, but on going to the ground, it kind of wobbled when it hit the ground. So therefore, he didn't survive the ground. Yeah. What the hell?
I know. And it was ridiculous because, like you say, if he was a running back, because he caught the ball and then his elbow and his knee touched the floor, which normally means he would be down if he'd been touched. But because he wasn't touched, he then kind of tried to push himself in. And that's when he fumbled.
Yeah,
then he didn't. Then the ball touched the floor. But like it's ridiculous. So if he'd been touched, it would have been a catch at the 1 yard line, but because he didn't get touched, it's not a catch. It was ludicrous.
Okay, so no touchdown.
No
was
touchdown,
given.
And then they try another play. It fails, and then the clock's still ticking, so they try and go for it on third down with a fake spike. And rather than throwing it out wide where...
So at this point, all they needed was that field goal, 3 points to take into overtime.
Yeah,
but
the Steelers always go for the win. That's the way they play. And Big Ben got told over his headset, don't spike it, go for a touchdown. But rather than throwing it out to the corner where it's relatively safe, where it's a
wide... Where you can overthrow it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not much danger if
he forced it down the middle towards one wide receiver marked by three defenders, and it gets tipped and intercepted, and that's the end of the game, and they lose. And it was ridiculous. Going from having won to just losing so quickly, unbelievable.
I mean, the Steelers are known for doing the an extra point, the two points at the end of the touchdown, rather than going
for the one point.
Rather than the point one point. They're a very aggressive team. They almost own the 5 yard line. They've always been that way. And the Patriots, if you go into extra time, that Tom Brady could easily get the ball first and go up the field, like they've shown with Gronk, and get a touchdown.
Like they've just done. Yeah, exactly.
Like they've just done. So I don't hate it. I just hate the execution.
It was there for the win. But as we were saying in our NFL chat group, there's a time and a place to be aggressive. And I think they were in such a rush to get things moving, get things going, that take the 3 points, have trust in your team. It says to me that we're not good enough to beat them in overtime. We need to do it now.
I agree with Greeny that they should have, they were right to go for it.
I've not heard you say that before, I don't think.
They should have gone for it, but the way they did it, like, go for it where it's got a safe side to it, where like when Brady threw it to Gronk, you know, either Gronk's catching it or no one's catching it.
Well, with Antonio Brown not there, you imagine that's the guy he would have gone to in that situation.
Put Bell there.
anyway, so moving on, let's talk about the Cowboys-Raiders game. Grainy, tell me what happened in this one.
Well, this was equally as outrageous, and we had the ref who covered the game had covered the playoff match with the Cowboys a number of years ago where there was a contested catch of Dez Bryant. So he comes in.
This is the one that's always referred to as, was it a catch, was it not?
Exactly, because Dez still isn't over it. And he did not survive the ground on that occasion. Anyways,
the ground beat him.
Yeah. So going into, I think it was the final quarter, so the Cowboys are on fourth down, 1 yard to go, and then Dak ends up going for that 1 yard. It's so contentiously close that they do the spotting of the line and they find they still don't actually know where the ball is spotted. So he has to get a piece of paper or card out of his pocket, fold it to then identify where the ball is landed. Like
I had it on at that point. I'd been out the room. I come back in and I've seen this referee with a piece of paper. Like, where's this piece of paper come from and what's he doing with it? Like, what's he trying
it's a
to
card.
Prove
like he's from wrong sport.
It was who mad. Knows and then at the end of the game, we've seen this a number of times during the season and we've kind of waved it off, but Derek Carr on the 5 yard line was extending the play trying to reach for the end zone. He ends up losing control of the ball and it goes out the back of the end zone. By rule and definition, it's there for a touchback, and you know the Cowboys get the ball and they win the match.
I've seen a lot of uproar about this ruling, and I don't quite understand why people are so angry about it.
I know what you mean. I think the one that people are annoyed by is when in that scenario when it goes out the back of the end zone, that's completely fair. But when they dive for the pylon and then they drop it, they should still keep the ball. I don't see why they should lose the ball.
He's fumbled it, has he not?
But if you fumble it off the side of the pitch, you still keep possession.
Okay.
It's only when you go for the pylon that you then lose possession, which that's the bit that seems stupid.
It's kind of like you're playing football and you go down the wing and like if you hit the ball off the pitch, you know, it's a throw on. But if you end up hitting the corner flag and it stayed in, suddenly the other team get the ball and it's not even off the pitch. It's just a ludicrous kind of
That's the worst extension. Analogy I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's similar, it's a corner
flag. I was nodding and not really listening. Yeah. So. But I mean, is it something that you feel the NFL will look into? Because it has happened quite a few times this season, or they've been highlighted a lot more this time in like prime time games.
They are quite good at taking a look at the rules and evaluating the end of each season. You know, obviously, they extended the conversion kick after touchdowns and made that longer to make
it's
it a bit
like
more
3 years for them to have a discussion. Though.
I know, but you know, it's certainly going to be mentioned. It'll be brought up whether or not anything happens this year or next year remains to be seen. But yeah,
and of course, Zeke Elliott will be returning in week 16, just in time for the third, fourth. Playoff between me and you, Charles.
Yeah.
Are you excited to get him in your lineup?
Well, I mean, I even forgot the third, fourth playoff existed. That'll be fun. I'll beat you, maybe. Probably not, but yeah, gutting.
Third is good.
Yeah.
Well. Packers, Panthers. It was the return of Aaron Rodgers. He didn't quite look ready. I mean, in the fantasy stat sheets, he had a good game.
But start of the week.
But what? You don't get any praise.
He was like outside the top 50 of quarterbacks before.
But he looking at him and watching him play, he didn't look quite right, I don't think.
Well, he threw interceptions.
He threw three.
So, I mean, that's very un-Rodgers like. It's the first time in 12 years he'd thrown three interceptions or something.
Has he been playing for 12 years?
7 years? A lot of years.
He's probably played at least 12.
It was a first time in some years.
No, maybe eight.
Maybe it was 2000. And, yeah. Anyway, in a while.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah. But yeah, that was
maybe when you said 12 years is really when Brett Favre was playing.
Probably.
there was a great exchange going around on social media between Triple H and Cam Newton.
Yeah, that was amazing.
What happened exactly?
Yeah, so they're on like the 5 yard line and. Cam's calling
Clay
a play.
Clay Matthews, obviously. Yeah. Not
so they're calling
Triple
a play,
H.
And Clay Matthews, who's the defensive end for the Packers, he calls out, "Oh, they're going for
a wheel route,
so they're going to use you know one of their running backs out wide." And so Cam just turns to him and was like, "Oh, you've been watching the tape, have you? Well, why don't you watch this?" And then he just throws a kind of slant to McCaffrey, and it's a touchdown.
A slant.
Slant.
Oh, yeah.
DJ.
once a week, he has to just ruin a word.
Penalised for being English. Never mind.
The Chargers did a very Chargers thing, and once everyone was talking them up and hyping them, they let us all down, didn't well, they, Charles? They,
yeah, and I was gutted. Greeny, what do you? I mean, you would probably. Hold on.
Greeny, you there. You set your alarm for this one, didn't you?
This took me quite a while to get over. So I went out drinking the day, and you know, I ended up crashing early. Set my alarm for 1:30 and stayed up to about 5:30 watching the Chargers get demolished in every part of the game. Defensively, they couldn't tackle and they were getting injured. The offensive line were falling to the floor. We couldn't stop the run. We couldn't stop Kareem Hunt at all. And Phillip Rivers was just making poor decisions and the wide receivers were not being very aggressive. So I couldn't find a positive thing to say throughout the whole game.
Do you remember, JP, on last week's episode where Greeny said that the Chargers are actually really good against the run now and actually provided some stats and, you know, don't worry, they're brilliant. And now
Kareem Hunt,
we couldn't stop Kareem Hunt.
He had a decent game.
Defensive injuries, they're not used to the Saturday night vibe.
To be fair, I feel a bit better about losing to you in the fantasy playoffs. I don't think you would have survived a weekend where you'd lost against the Chiefs and lost in fantasy, so I'm glad you're still here.
And we can't wrap up week 15 without talking about the Rams and the Seahawks.
Oh right, I genuinely thought you were about to say about the Jags.
Absolutely not. We don't care about the Jags on this podcast.
Playoff bound.
But seriously, like the Rams going into Seattle and absolutely demolishing the Seahawks.
That Todd Gurley's all right.
Yeah, I made a very off the cuff like, you know, temporary expectation. I didn't expect the interior defensive players for the Seahawks.
Was he your tanker, Green?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. To be honest, Russell, like, there's not many starters to act that fancy wise for the Rams that you're like, okay, they're a certainty to actually say, right, they're a tanker here. I'm not going to say, oh, Sammy Watkins, he's a tanker, because you're probably not playing him anyway. And Seahawks,
my pick.
So that's Russell Wilson. That's the Chargers and the Seahawks that are great against running backs. And then you've got Kareem Hunt on 35 points and Todd Gurley on 45 points.
It was a
points.
Mental week, though, for those top running backs. Melvin Gordon had a great
Devonta
game.
Devonta Freeman.
Lev Bell. Devonta
McCoy,
Freeman. I mean, yeah.
Kenyon Drake in that club now.
they all had huge games.
But Wilson, MVP. What happened?
He just couldn't do it. Like, the Rams, Aaron Donald was just all over him game. And he still weaved a bit of his magic, but he just
there
couldn't.
There were some plays that were unbelievable.
You mean Depoy?
I mean,
Aaron Donald. Depoy. Defensive player of the year.
Oh, Depoy. Right, okay.
But yeah, like,
it's Calais Campbell short.
When you're 30 points down by halftime or whatever it was, it's pretty demoralising, isn't it?
No, absolutely.
And Chelsea, you're just going to quickly sort of take us through some of the huge fantasy point scorers who we've all never heard of.
Yeah, well, you could actually make a fantasy winning team this week of players that were probably less than near 0.1% owned, which you could have had Brock Osweiler, the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos, scoring you 26 points in fantasy. And then you could have had the fourth and fifth wide receivers for the Jags in Keelan Cole and Jaden Mickens, who was sleeping in his car about 2 months ago.
We were watching part of that Jags game on Red Zone, and every time this guy caught the ball, we were like, who is he? Like, who is this guy?
He has been the punt returner since like week 7 or 8, so...
I haven't been watching those punt returns. That's my problem.
But yeah, but you're right. He hadn't actually played as a wide receiver properly with the offense, but obviously with injuries to obviously Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee early in the game, you'd kind of left with...
Okay, Charles, you were taking us through the players, not the whole Jags team here.
With injuries to the three first choice wide receivers, you're left with literally first round rookies who have got to step up to the plate, and luckily they've got Snowflake Bortles in the form of his life, and he's making these guys look like superstars, and unbelievable.
I mean, absolutely
sorted. And then obviously the other best quarterback in the league alongside Blake Bortles is obviously Eli Manning, as we all know, throwing to Sterling Shepard and King. I can't even remember his first
Treverius.
Name Treverius King, obviously.
And no one expected the Giants to against... make a game of it against the Eagles D that's been one of the best in the league this year.
Division rivalry just brings the best out of a team. Just like James Winston. Just like the Chargers against the Chiefs. Yeah. Brings the best out.
Just like the Bucks against the Falcons. They wanted to play spoiler. Winston had a great game last night.
Yeah, but Manning threw for nearly 450 yards.
I thought he threw over 500. Did I make...
Well,
one of you are wrong.
Yeah, it was over 400.
Frantically
but still, unbelievable against one of the top defences in the league and in the Eagles. But, you know,
amazing.
That's
but
the beauty of the NFL.
It is now time...
Sorry, 4:30.
Okay. 4:30, so you were wrong there.
I was yeah.
And that's why you're being shamed this week, Greene. Wrong on many occasions, not just for the amount of yards that Eli Manning threw, but for your poorest picks of the week last week. And using your own word against you.
I did a Chargers. You know, I've been... People were looking at me for guidance. Yeah. And then I just
You were
did
doing
a
so well. You're on Keelan such Allen, a good yeah. run. And it's come crashing down.
Yeah, it's
everything
shame.
I said was wrong. So
last week, we're just removed from the archives.
Just take it out.
I think that's going to be the beginning of every episode. For everything I said is wrong.
Theo Riddick, not so much. Dede Westbrook. I mean,
the only white Jags wide receiver who didn't score over 20 points.
And Sheehan, is that the right
Sheehan?
did not have a good game.
No, he didn't play.
Oh, did he not?
He
well, he really didn't have a good game. Though,
On Madden, he was playing at home at the same time.
So now we must talk about fantasy playoffs. It was the semi-finals last week, or semi-finale, as Roy Hodgson likes to...
Oh, I thought as Greeny would say.
Greeny's father, people. Roy Hodgson, yeah. likes to say. Greeny, let's just quickly talk about the Bites leagues. We got beaten. We got pretty destroyed. I mean, having Brown and Burkhead in there that both went off injured didn't help, but even Todd Gurley couldn't save us. And we must congratulate Bobby's back for beating us. And it's got to be perfect. It's going to be an awesome final matchup between the two of them next week.
And shout out to Rough Dogs and the Cincinnati Big Fat Ginger Cats to doing well in the reaching the final in
what
our league.
What a fierce foursome.
Yeah. Rough Dogs are the Browns fan, the only other Browns fan in the UK.
My best friend.
Something to celebrate about.
I think he drafted like five Browns and got to the final.
I don't know how he's done that. He's a magician. But we must also talk about our league, our friends' league. Now, I was worried that come week 16 in the NFL, Christmas Day is the Steelers against the Texans. And I was very much looking forward to the Brother Bowl, JJ Watt against TJ Watt. But my fears can be allayed that we will have a Brother Bowl week 16 because Greeny will be against Greeny. Daniel Green will be playing Jonathan Green.
Oh, absolutely.
In our final after Greeny took down Charles
in
one semi-final. And Greeny Sr., who appeared on the podcast earlier this year, if you remember.
Somewhere in the background eating Chinese.
Yeah, that's all he was doing. Yeah. Beat me. And it was... It's tough to take. We were watching Red Zone, the three of us together, and I mean, you know, it's not going to be your day when Mark Ingram scores a 50-yard touchdown with the last play of the game when he didn't need to.
When the Jags scored a defensive touchdown and then it got overruled for no good reason, and
his hand was going forward.
Nah, it wasn't ridiculous. Well, anyway, that was very frustrating.
Yeah, my thoughts were the Jags were going to be as good as three players. You know, they're playing the Texans. I thought they would get 30 points.
I mean, they've pretty much been averaging like 20-plus points. And so against the Texans, who they got like 35 points in week one, I thought they'd have a big week. And they, even though the Jags won by nearly 40 points, the defense was the only one who didn't actually get fantasy points.
Not legit.
I mean, it was great that you know, we're a very competitive 10-man league, and the three Biteses found their way into the playoff semis.
Sadly, not so much.
No,
I think they actually didn't even make the
league
plate bowl.
Yeah, no, they didn't have a matchup this week, and because they have Todd Gurley, it means that Todd Gurley, who scored 45 points, did not feature in our league whatsoever. So it was null and void.
But I'm pleased for you, Greeny, because you have put an absurd amount of time into your fantasy team this year. So
it's a shame your brother will beat you.
I'm looking forward to us being at a wedding party next Sunday.
Oh,
and
my God.
You not being able to watch it properly and give it your full
attention. I'm going to make sure it's not on.
I swear to you.
Greeny's already told me he's bringing an iPad with to watch it.
I swear to you, loyal fans, that if I win, or when I win, there will be a trophy coming my way and I will be parading it around London. Everyone's welcome for the open bus tour.
Okay, that is enough about...
Don't worry, I'll pass it to you as the current holder.
That is enough about our fantasy league.
Yeah.
Okay. Half-time snacks. The award-winning Zing Zing Chinese food. 20% off with the code 20BITES. That's 20BITEZ. Delicious MSG-free Chinese food. Greeny, it is that time of the week that I look forward to every time we do the podcast. Top three town.
We're in top three town again. Okay. So obviously, whatever I said last week, disregard. But you can listen to top three town nonetheless, you know. And so as we approach the playoffs, we begin to see some of the elite players really come to form. And we start to think, how on earth did they get this good? A lot of it is genetics, you know, extreme speed and height. But I think a lot of it comes to their obscure training methods. So we're going to take through what the the training methods they use again. Yeah.
Are these training methods like during whilst they're like growing up, or is this like at camp training camps with their NFL team?
A little mix
we'll
of
find
both,
out,
really.
A mixture of both. We'll find out.
I just want to get in the right headspace.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of these players are actually playing in the playoffs with the NFL.
They
currently
got injured in training.
Number three is Peyton Hillis. You may remember him because he came out of nowhere to be a fantasy superstar for the Browns in 2010. He would have been undrafted in fantasy, and he got 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns, featuring on the Madden cover that following year. So one of his downfalls was his propensity to fumble, with him fumbling 8 times in the season. So in order to shake this from his system, he went around his hometown in Arkansas with the ball under his arm and would pay people on the street to come through and punch the ball through his arms. And few succeeded, and he reduced his fumbles to 1 the following season. So
what were his touchdowns?
He got done by the Madden curse. Number two is our man David Johnson. Unfortunately, he's injured and he won't be returning this year for the Cardinals, but he burst out of college to have an MVP fantasy type season last year. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see a lot of him get injured in the first game, in game one. He is particularly skilled as a dual threat runner by catching a lot of balls out of the backfield. And he attributes this due to playing dodgeball back in school with many students that were older than him. And he used to kind of travel around the country playing in dodgeball tournaments, which I assume was with Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn. So he was so good that many called him Glue Hands, which... Interesting. You're trying to do like a sexual innuendo.
We must only refer to him as Glue Hands now.
Exactly.
Pass. So
that made him great at tracking the ball mid-flight, avoiding coming tackles, and awareness and space. So Mr. Glue Hands there, David Johnson.
Nice.
Number one, Jerry Rice, who is known as one of the greatest ever to play the game, wide receiver for the Niners, and literally owns every record when it comes to catching and touchdowns. So he attributes his lightning speed to chasing a horse every day as a boy in Mississippi. Sometimes he said he would have to run over after a horse for 45 minutes at a time.
But like,
to do what?
I could run after a horse and it wouldn't make me any like quicker.
I think he may have, you know, until he caught the horse.
Did what with the horse?
Not what you're watching in year 9 videos, you know. It's not that kind of horseplay.
Hey, that's good, but I wasn't even suggesting
that's
that.
That's a better pun than any of the ones from earlier.
And he also used to work with his dad, who was a brick mason.
He used to run after the bricks.
His dad would throw bricks at him.
Brick hands.
And David Johnson would catch them.
They used to call him Brick Hands.
Not too far from the truth.
Oh, God.
So he used to be the middleman between his brother on the ground and his father on the scaffolding.
Brother in the ground?
Brother on the ground.
Oh, right. He didn't survive the ground. Yeah.
Oh, come on, that's... and so he would have to catch the bricks and then pass them to his brother. So for every brick he dropped, his dad would take money off his paycheck. So, you know, good trading methods. But whilst David Johnson is called Glue Hands, Rice later admitted in his career that he used to use Stick'Em on his gloves as a competitive advantage. Threw that in just
so
to kind of...
he cheated?
He cheated, yeah.
What's Stick'Em?
Stick'Em is like... a bit
Velcro.
Of glue. Velcro-y glue stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so dear. All his records.
Null and void. Nut.
Oh, that's a Bytes exclusive.
Yeah. Jerry Rice didn't exist.
Cheat. It's very possible.
Served.
Thank you.
I want all rices taken
I'm
away
I'm never
from
eating
the
rice again.
How about Müller rice?
Müller rice
can
make
Müller
it.
Rice. Anyway, thank you,
anyway,
Greeny.
Anyway, yeah, Greeny, that was excellent. And I look forward to it every week, and I can't wait for the next one. Week 16 previews. This is where we go through the bankers, tankers, and cheeky wankers.
Playoff final previews.
Playoff final previews. We are kicking it off with the late Saturday night game, the Packers versus the Vikings. And I am going to kick us off with the banker. And I'm choosing Stephon Diggs. I think the Packers secondary has been pretty poor against wide receivers, and Thielen's been getting all the headlines recently, and I think this is the game where Stephon Diggs wins people their fantasy championships.
Unless Bridgewater plays.
Bridgewater came on. We should have mentioned that actually earlier on. He came on once the Vikings had won their game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Was it the Bengals?
It was the Bengals, because you kept complaining how bad the Bengals were against
the
Vikings.
I was up against the Vikings too. And Bridgewater came on. He had that incredible ovation from the crowd, and then went on to throw an interception.
On his first pass.
On his first
Did he
play.
Throw another ball after that?
I don't know. I mean, that's enough for me.
He
that
must
was,
have done.
Yeah. I was too busy laughing to pay attention.
Who is Greeny? Tanker.
I mean, we saw the return from Rodgers, and we were thinking, let's load up Jordy Nelson. But even if Rodgers plays in week 16, Jordy Nelson just looks so out of sync in football. He looks potentially out of shape. And even if Devontae Adams doesn't play, just Jordy Nelson is not the guy you think he is right now.
And Charlesy?
In keeping with that, I agree that Nelson is not going to be the guy. Adams is going to probably miss. So, I mean, go for any of the other wide receivers, whether it be Cobb, who had a big game, tight end Richard Rodgers, even Geronimo Allison. You know,
Geronimo.
Go for the. You know, I think they could.
The Packers taking a plummet out of the playoffs.
No, I think
they are officially out the playoffs.
They
now,
are officially
they?
Out the playoffs,
for
but
the
I
first
think
time since 2000 and.
First time in 12 years.
when Rodgers first started.
Exactly, and he threw three interceptions. I think the Packers will try and go out to win this, because obviously they want to stop the Vikings clinching home field advantage in the playoffs, which could potentially mean the Vikings play at home all the way through.
As the Super Bowl
is in Minnesota, which could be epic. But I think they'll definitely try and avoid
the
that
Vikings
for their arch
rivals.
They
are looking good.
I don't know if I want to see the Vikings in the final, but that's for another.
That's for another
Jags,
podcast.
The Jags will beat them, don't worry.
Bears-Browns. I can't wait to get stuck into this one.
Pick this.
We're always doing like the big matchups.
We are a fair
podcast.
We need
two sides of the
spectrum. We need a balance. Charlesy, who is your banker in this tasty, fiery matchup?
I mean, I had Jordan Howard written down, but that's kind of too obvious. I think Crowell could have a good game. I think this will be a close game. Is he your tanker?
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
No, but I just think I think this will be a close game. The Bears aren't scoring that many points, and the Browns have been in games, and they're not actually as bad as their record suggests. And in a closer game, they'll be running the ball more.
We,
and I think
we
Crowell
did this
could have
last week when we picked the same player.
Who was
do you
it?
Remember?
Robbie Anderson.
How did he do?
Middling.
Not great.
He got 7 points.
My tanker is
40 yards.
Crowell. About Crowell, and what's mental about Hugh Jackson, the Browns, and just everything about them. Crowell, do you remember we were watching this, went off on that like 60-yard run?
Yeah.
Do you know how many carries he had after that?
Like three?
One.
Oh my God, that's
one.
He got looks like a 60-yard.
I don't understand.
That makes no sense.
I mean, it's very Browns-like, but this does happen quite. It does seem to happen quite a lot in the NFL, where you just don't understand these decisions.
Yeah, and it never works. It's like you're trying to out-psych yourself. I don't know what they'll never expect me not to play my best player. Well, great. Yeah, I won't expect it because it means you'll lose.
Well, would you prefer, because only about an hour ago, Jeff Fisher came out and said, I'd love to come back to the NFL with him. So would you prefer Hugh making those outrageous decisions or Jeff making those ones?
At least it's quite entertaining. If Jeff Fisher was there, it would be boring and bad.
Yeah. Well, they know, but he always gets 8-8, so at least you'd win a game.
Ooh. 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 Greeny, who is the cheeky wanker in this one?
I mean, he had a great game last week, which is Kendall Wright. I think he got 10 receptions for over 100 yards and a touchdown. You're going to have a big sack of balls if you're going to play him in the final.
Who's got a big sack of what?
The ball boy at the game.
This is like one of these toys, you know, the emoji toys. Anyway, you're going to have one of those.
Kendall Wright, you were saying.
Kendall Wright.
Let's get through these other ones. Saints versus Falcons. Greeny, banker.
Sanu. Jones not been performing as well, but Sanu has been your consistent man.
Charlesy.
Tanker. Julio Man Jones.
Interesting. I'm going to come on to him a bit later on.
I think we all might.
Have we all picked the same? We'll come on to that later.
We'll come on to that.
The cheeky choice. I'm going for Matt Ryan. He has not performed this year. He has not been your QB1 for your teams, but I think...
So Julio Jones is not going to play well.
Yeah. Sanu is.
Sanu's going to be the Keelan Cole of week 16.
I really think Falcons need to win. They're in an incredibly competitive division. The Saints obviously need to win as well, and the Panthers are looking awesome. I think Matty Ice is gonna pull it out of the bag for the Falcons.
And in the my final, I'm playing Ingram and Kamara somehow.
You're playing against them.
Playing against them, sorry.
I know that feeling.
And week 14... this is when Kamara got injured early on, didn't play, and Ingram had a very mediocre game. If that can be repeated, the Falcons have got their recipe to win again.
Cowboys, Seahawks. The banker in this one, it's going to be Zeke. Zeke is back, and Todd Gurley just ran all over the Seahawks, and I think they're going to give him like 30-plus touches. I think they're just going to hand it off to him every time.
Why not? He said he wants to get 200 yards. He can.
Yeah. He's been on my bench since week 7 or whenever it was, and I was banking on being in the final for him to bring home my championship, but unfortunately not to be.
Greeny?
And the same with our Waste in Any League. We lost in the semi.
Is that the official name of the league?
Well, yeah, it was a waste in any time, losing in the semi-final.
Greeny, tanker.
My tanker is a hat-trick of terrible games for Jimmy Graham.
And Charlesy?
Yeah, it's two games in a row. He's with 0 points, which is amazing. I'm going to go cheeky wanker. I will go Luke Wilson as a backup to what Greeny just said. Jimmy Graham seems to be being marked out of the game, and the other tight end is getting a look in.
And very quickly, the Texans Steelers on Christmas Day.
So Antonio Brown's out. So Juju Smith-Schuster is going to benefit quite a lot from that.
And the tanker in this one, I think, is going to be Big Ben with his main man out. I think we could
don't
see
say
him.
That.
I think we could see him tanking. Charles.
I mean, it's not really cheeky, but I think you might be put off by very recent or. Also a season of disappointment. But I think Lamar Miller could have a very good game. I think the game will be closer than it probably might be expected to be. And the Steelers have been very bad against the run. I think Lamar Miller might be okay to play. Although if you got him, you're probably not in the playoff final.
And yeah, thank you for that, guys. I literally just had a complete mind blank. with our British TV show pun, we're going to be playing Men... performing badly.
Very pun heavy today. I like it.
Very. Yeah. It's where basically we just want one name of a studly player that is going to lose people championships next week.
This Greeny? Is where we're all going to say Julio Jones. Who wants to say him first?
I've got Julio written down.
I've got Julio. I'll add to it and say I think Doug Baldwin.
Baldwin?
that's a bold win, shout.
Doug Baldwin. He was a letdown last week, and I don't want that up and down. I want that consistent, steady player.
I mean, just quickly to go back to Julio, I mean, he's been pretty disappointing this year. He's had those blow-up games that he always does, but, I mean, against Lattimore, potentially rookie defensive player of the year, He's gonna find it tough out there.
Yeah, that's the big thing against Lattimore that he's been shutting down.
But you can't not play him.
No, you have to play him, just like you had to play AJ Green last
week. Yeah, that's the thing. Can you live with yourself if you play?
You can't have him on your bench.
And then he does blow up. I mean,
you got to play your studs.
Yeah, although you know, there might, you never know.
You never know.
My name for this is actually Tom Brady. I think he actually is playing the Bills.
Todd Brady.
Tom Brady.
No, I'm kidding.
I think he's against the Bills this week. He might potentially struggle, and just watch out. He might not actually. You know, he's had a recent.
Spit it out, Charles. Spit it.
Sometimes he has a poor end to the season, and the Bills will be trying to go for the playoffs themselves and trying to cost the Patriots a bye. They could ease, and they've been good defensively, so Brady might struggle.
Just heavy dose of running.
Just a couple of questions for you guys this week, as I have a special treat for you two at the end of this, which you're both unaware of.
Ooh.
So we're just going to take a couple of questions. Jack has asked, what's more questionable? Juju Smith-Schuster's choice celebration this week. That is more difficult to say than you think. or the catcherel, or the Panthers owners. We didn't mention the Panther owners. They've got a star-studded lineup for us. But which, what is more questionable, guys?
Well, I mean, I think if P. Diddy or Puff Daddy or Pooh,
whatever he's calling himself these days,
Doody, if he becomes an owner, it would make a bit of a. Potentially a bit of a mockery of it. Like,
but it's him, Steph Curry, and Colin Kaepernick are forming a Avengers team.
I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, Everton being bought by Britney Spears. I don't know, it's
like a dream team, Manchester United. Yeah, the guy wins the lottery, Boyle.
Yeah. When they picked it from the seat, oh, that was a classic. Yeah, no, I think that would be ridiculous.
I mean, Juju Smith, he's celebrating, it was really just a poor taste, yeah. I thought. If any of you guys didn't see it, it was him reenacting the hit and taunt on Perfect. Him and Bryant were celebrating that. It just didn't...
No, it's poor form.
Poor form.
Yeah, it's kind of rubbing it in the face. You've been suspended for it. You just admit you've done wrong.
Exactly. And Patrick, are the Titans missing out on a wild card? What the heck is going on in Seattle also?
Two related questions. So I think the Titans, they are, you know, they look quite poor. Mariota looks like
terrible.
I don't know how they're in the position of a player. They lose to the 49ers last week. And for Titans to fall out, it looks like the Bills or the Chargers might fall in, which is good news.
Yeah, I think the Titans will miss out. They've been pretty bad all year. They just keep just making it. The last couple of weeks, they've just lost. So it's like they're like the Browns, but they actually win some of the games that are close. But I just think they're going to struggle.
Congrats, Charles, on mentioning that without talking about the Jags. I think you did well there.
I didn't finish that. I had to. No, but they're rubbish. You know, the Jags are going to have already won that division. Basically, if we win a game and already lose a game, we've won the division.
Top picks for week 16: quarterbacks, running backs, wide receiver, and tight ends. Charles, kick us off with your quarterback choice.
Snowflake Bortles, done.
Greeny?
I'm going to go Matty Stafford.
Oh, I thought you were going to have mine there of Matty Ryan. I was going to double up with Blakey B, but Charlesy took him, so I'm going with Matt Ryan.
Stafford's got a good matchup against the very injured Bengals, just like Keenan tore him up.
Running backs, Greeny.
I have a bit of faith here that the Titans will come to their senses and unleash Derrick Henry.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Charles?
McCaffrey. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have shown all year that they're really bad against running backs, especially pass-catching running backs. And McCaffrey's getting used more and more, and I think he's going to explode.
Awesome. And Greeny, you'll be happy to hear that Deion Lewis is my my choice of a running back with Burkhead out injured. I think they could give Lewis a lot more opportunity. Wide receivers. I mentioned him earlier on, and I'm going with Stephon Diggs.
Fair play. I like it. I'm going for a player who's been injured for a while and is just coming back. He came back last week, and that's Robert Woods of the Rams. He's a favourite target of Jared Goff, and I think he could have a big game.
And I'm going a man who's been out for some time, mentally. Martavius Bryant.
Okay, no, to fill in the Antonio Brown role
opposite Juju. Well, I'm just hedging my bets here. One of them will do well.
And tight ends. Charles, who have you gone with?
I've gone for Richard Rodgers. I think for the Packers, I think like I mentioned earlier,
he got a touchdown last week.
He got a touchdown. He, you know, without Aaron Rodgers playing the whole of last year, Richard Rodgers was a top 12 tight end. Without him this year, people have forgotten he existed.
Do you think Rodgers is going to play with them now?
Like I said, they will want to stop the Vikings having home field advantage. If he doesn't play, then I'll go Eric Ebron.
So, yeah.
Managed to get two in there.
Yeah.
I've gone Cam Bray. So, we know that DeSean Jackson and OJ Howard may not play. Thomas Davis for the Panthers, who would have marked him. He had a disgusting hit on Devontae Adams, and he's going to miss two games now. Probably appeal to one, but he's going to miss this game. Cam Bray is going to be targeted by Winston quite a bit.
I like it.
And I am going with Ben Watson. The nice. Tight end for the Ravens playing the Colts on Thursday night football.
Mm. Wait, there's no Thursday night. It's Saturday night.
Saturday night, even. You are correct.
We're done with that nonsense.
Yeah. Watson, no more Thursday night games.
Watson fresh off a classic tight end smashing against the Browns. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Ben Watson. Charlie is obviously not here today, so there's no trivia from him. But in the spirit of Christmas, who doesn't love a Christmas quiz?
Santa?
Oh, hello.
This quiz has nothing to do with Christmas, apart
brilliant.
From that it's being said on our Christmas special podcast.
Very nice.
So we've got like five questions. They get a little bit harder as we go on, but I'm going to ask you guys and keep track.
Okey
so
dokey.
We're going to start off. One. Antonio Brown is the first player in NFL history to catch 100 passes in how many consecutive seasons? 3, 4, or 5? I'm going to go to Charles first.
I was going
to
say 4.
Greeny.
Well, that's what came out of my mouth. Yeah. 4.
You are both incorrect.
5.
It is 5.
Oh.
Pretty amazing from AEB.
Unbelievable. Question, I've been playing fantasy for 5 years.
All question right, number 2. I hope you guys are playing along at home as well.
Yeah.
And let us know how you do. Which current rookie running back is the first in NFL history with at least 70 receptions and 5 receiving touchdowns? Now, I'm going to ask you both to say your answer on the count of 3. Okay?
Wait, let me
Have
let
you
me
both
think.
Thought about it?
Yeah.
So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, answer. Okay. So 1.
I'm blanking. Okay.
2, 3,
answer. McCaffrey.
McCaffrey is
yes.
Charles E. goes 1-0 up.
Get in there.
Christian McCaffrey is right. What a season. Yeah. He's. I feel like he's not getting as much praise, credit as some of the others.
Yeah, but
great,
it's because aside
season.
From his pass catching, he's not actually running because they're still using Jonathan Stewart a lot, whereas Kamara's doing everything.
Absolutely. Who joined Odell Beckham Jr. this season as the only player in NFL history with 90-plus receptions and over 1,000 receiving yards in each of their first 2 seasons? So it's a second-year player.
Okay, I've got it.
And I'm going to ask for the answer on the count of 3. Charles is looking perplexed. He can't think of anyone. So 1, 2, 3.
Michael Tom Thomas. Brady.
Michael,
Michael
Thomas,
Thomas
is
of course
correct.
It's Michael
Greeny
Thomas.
Has pulled one back. We are 1-1 after 3. Question number 4. Evan Engram is tied with the most receiving touchdowns for a rookie this year. Who is he tied with?
Wait. So this year he's got...
So this year, Evan Engram is tied with the most rookie receiving touchdowns.
So who's he tied with this year?
Who is he tied with this year?
Okay.
As receiving touchdowns?
Receiving touchdowns. So I'm going to ask for your answer on the count of 3.
As a rookie? Is a rookie?
It is a rookie.
Wow.
1, 2, 3.
Kamara.
I was going to say Kamara. I was going to say Kamara as well, but no, I thought you were saying Kareem Hunt.
Well, you're both wrong.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's another tight end.
Oh, is it Njoku?
No, Greene.
Tight end. The 49ers.
No, it's OJ Howard.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Forgotten man.
I didn't think he had
I am
five.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got the answers.
Yeah. No,
and final question. So
it's 1-0.
It's 1-0.
Oh dear.
Rex Burkhead now has a rushing touchdown in each of his last 4 games, tied for the longest active streak in the NFL. Who is he tied with? This is a toughie.
That's what we want to hear.
Okay. I think the one I'm thinking of has only got it in three consecutive games.
Just let me get it in my head.
Can you tell us what position?
Yeah. Rushing touchdowns. I'm going to tell you that he is a running back.
I didn't realise you said rushing. I thought you said touchdown. Well, that changes my answer then.
Okay.
Oh, we said it's tough. Oh, God.
Is it actually tough?
I mean, like, you know him.
Yeah.
He came to the fore probably about 5-6 weeks ago. He's not the starting running back, but he's had better games than the starter over the last 6 weeks.
Okay.
That's surprisingly not easy to get into the head.
Okay. So, 1, 2, 3.
LeGarrette Blount.
Alfred Morris.
Rod Smith is the answer.
Wow.
So you're going to end on a tie. But I do have a bonus.
Give me a half.
Bonus tiebreaker for this occasion. And here it is. So what was special/unique about Juju Smith's 69-yard reception against the Patriots in Sunday night's game? So what was special about it?
Was it the first?
So whoever gets the closest.
Okay,
it
was the first 69-yard reception of the season.
I would say the longest the Patriots have conceded in a receiving.
I'm going to give it to you, Graney. It is. It's the longest reception against the Patriots in the final 2 minutes in the fourth quarter of the Bill Belichick era.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is.
If you gave me more speaking time, I would have got exactly
word for word.
Nice.
Another win against you, Charles. Hey!
Another win. But thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that quiz and the podcast overall. We will not be with you next week as our lovely studios are closed over Christmas. But wanted to wish you all a very happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
And if I win, I will update everyone on Twitter. So please,
we are sure you will. So thank you very much to Di Michele himself.
Di Michele.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your input on this wonderful episode. Charles Greeny, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And we'll see you in the real playoffs.
Good
luck in the fantasy playoffs.
Good luck to everyone, including me.
And Merry Christmas.
And that's it.
Bye.